Chapter 39, Why We Have Sanitariums. Manuscript 115, 1907. An address by Mrs. E.G. White at the dedicatory service of the new hospital building, St. Helena Sanitarium, October 20, 1907. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22:1. Thank God for this. The great reason why we have sanitariums is that these institutions may be agencies in bringing men and women to a position where they may be numbered among those who shall some day eat of the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Verse 3. Our sanitariums are established as institutions where patients and helpers may serve God. We desire to encourage as many as possible to act their part, individually, in living healthfully. We desire to encourage the sick to discard the use of drugs, and to substitute the simple remedies provided by God, as they are found in water, in pure air, in exercise, and in general hygiene. Our object in choosing this location when we were establishing the first sanitarium for the Pacific Coast was that we might be away from the confusion of the cities. In harmony with the light given me, I am urging people to come out from the great centers of population. Our cities are increasing in wickedness, and it is becoming more and more evident that those who remain in them unnecessarily do so at the peril of their soul's salvation. But in this place where we have met today, the very surroundings exert an influence in calling us to a higher and purer lives. Here we have been able to gather in many, and they have been greatly benefited by a wise application of the means that God has provided for aiding in the recovery of the sick. We are thankful that we have similar institutions in many other places. Our sanitariums are to be centers of education. Those who come to them are to be given an opportunity to learn how to overcome disease and how to preserve the health. They may learn how to use the simple agencies that God has provided for their recovery and become more intelligent in regard to the laws of life. Some have asked me, why should we have sanitariums? Why should we not, like Christ, pray for the sick that they may be healed miraculously? I have answered, suppose we were able to do this in all cases, how many would appreciate the healing? Would those who were healed become health reformers, or continue to be health destroyers? Jesus Christ is the great healer, but he desires that by living in conformity with his laws, we may cooperate with him in the recovery and the maintenance of health. Combined with the work of healing, there must be an imparting of knowledge of how to resist temptation. Those who come to our sanitariums should be aroused to a sense of their own responsibility to work in harmony with the God of truth. We cannot heal. We cannot change the diseased conditions of the body. But it is our part as medical missionaries, as workers together with God, to use the means that he has provided. Then we should pray that God will bless these agencies. We do believe in a God. We believe in a God who hears and answers prayer. He has said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. God would have us turn away from the fashions and the foolishness of this world. He would have us to be a blessing to the community in which we live. Every Christian should be a means of disseminating the light of God's Word. God has given us minds that we may understand, and it is our duty and our privilege to live in harmony with Him and with the laws that He has established. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verses 3 to 5. The apostle is writing of the city of our God. We are preparing for that city, and we desire to do all we can to help others, that they also may find an abundant entrance into the city. We ourselves desire to be right with God, and we feel an intense interest that none may work against themselves, that they may not be reckless or careless of their health, but that their bodies may be in such a condition of health that they can fully appreciate their God-given privilege to prepare for the heavenly courts above. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Verses 12 and 13. Only think of the infinite sacrifice that has made this possible. We should study the Word that we may see more of its magnitude. Jesus Christ has bought us with a price. He laid aside His royal robe and His kingly crown in the heavenly courts. He clothed His divinity with humanity and came to this sin-cursed earth that humanity might be a partaker of divinity. And through obedience and love to God might escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has thrown His arms of infinite love around humanity and will draw unto Himself all who will come. But if some will persist in having their own way, He cannot bless them, for they will not come unto Him that they might have life. In the chapter from which we have read, we find this invitation given. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Verse 17. There can be no excuse for those who lose eternal life because they have failed to respond to this gracious invitation. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Verse 20. This is the first opportunity I have had of seeing this new building. I am pleased with it, very much pleased with it. Here the sick can be taken outdoors, where they can breathe the pure, fresh air. It will not be necessary for them to remain constantly in rooms where they are in danger of breathing impure air. We desire that there may be connected with this institution workers who shall give line upon line, precept upon precept, in order that those who come here may be benefited and blessed, and that they may see the consistency of breaking away from rebellion against the divine laws, and may come into harmony with the Lord God of heaven, who has made such an infinite sacrifice in their behalf. Shall we not all give to Him our heart, our mind, our service, our thoughts, all there is of us? Shall we not serve Him faithfully, and at last find entrance into the beautiful city of our God? Manuscript 115, 1907.